The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to take you into the locker room with Des Clark, along with co-host Paul Fresh Clark and Lester Scudder Davis, to tell you like it really is. Although they may get a little unruly at times, it's always sportsmanlike conduct. So let's get into it.
Good evening, East Coast. Good afternoon to the rest of the United States and abroad, whoever listens. Thank you for joining us today. Got a lot to get into. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL head coaches, the NBA finals, Wildcat formation, and the three first-round quarterbacks from this year, and some other things if we can get to it. Gentlemen, are y'all ready to go?
Let's do it.
Yes, we are.
All right, let's kick it off with the NBA Finals, the stunning conclusion of the NBA Finals. I don't think anybody here really figured that Orlando would have much of a chance. I think it was Lester Scudder Davis who actually predicted that Orlando would go down 4-1. Lester, how did you know it was going to happen?
Oh, first of all, thank you guys for that warm applause for me being right with that 4-1 prediction. Thank you for that warm applause. Good evening, sports fans. And let me tell you, I feel real good about that prediction. And I just knew it, man. The Lakers, like I told you, they've been California cool all season. But when it was time to play ball and get intense, you know, they were ready to go, Dez.
Yeah, and it showed because, especially in that last game, they wasn't going to let Orlando come in and get any kind of confidence in that game, so they took him out. And I kind of expected that in that last game with Kobe trying to get that fourth NBA title. Orlando playing at home, you know, they had to take it right there because if they gave Orlando any kind of hope, Orlando was a team that could come back and actually win two games on the road. Me and Fresh had it 4-2. Fresh, why you think Orlando went down in five games instead of not extending that series a little farther than it went?
Man, if I'm the Orlando Magic, I'm going to the nearest outdoor court, finding me somebody about 6'8", 6'9", that can bang via Anthony Mason and just make the team tougher. They just got to – the Orlando Magic got to go out this offseason and find a tough guy, somebody that's going to push people around and not give a darn about it, and to make the team tougher. The Lakers was just so – cool, like Lester said earlier, being California cool, and Kobe with that monster jump shot, they just sealed the deal, man. Lakers just sealed the deal and made it look easy.
Yeah, they did, and I agree with you. The Orlando Magic do need one of those enforcer-type dudes, one of those goons coming off the bench to add a little bit of toughness. If you look at the style of play that they play a very finesse game. And we actually had a couple callers in the earlier weeks call in and say that Orlando couldn't win it with the style of play that they was playing. I think if they would have faced another team that had a different style, like I said last week, they would have had a better chance. But they can't beat the Lakers at their own game. The Lakers are not a real tough team. They're more of a skilled team than anything else, and that's what the Orlando Magic hung their hats on. And the Lakers is just a better team in doing it. I think they do need to get tough, and I think as Dwight Howard keeps improving, he definitely needs to improve his offensive game some, because in the coming years, I think he needs to be that go-to player where they could say, okay, let's feed the ball to Dwight and let him carry us. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but that's the way I see that.
Hey, Dez, I totally agree. And another thing, you and Fresh are dead right about they need some tough guys, some goon-type guys and all. So all junior managers, I hope you're listening. Your boy Scudder's still out here now if you want somebody to come bang the boards for you.
Speaking about being a goon, my co-host had a nice little incident that will give credit to the goonhood that he's speaking about. At the game this weekend, Fresh? I think your team was out there playing, got into a little heated little argument with a guy who was saying a little too much. So He has some credit to his goonhood. It ain't go no further than that, but I was happy to see Lester get a little animated and protect his own.
Hey, yes, all the time, Dez, all the time, man.
Yeah.
Dez could have had to step up for me. It was a heated game. But, Dez, back to the goon thing, man, in Orlando Magic, just one guy, he does not really have to be a scorer, just somebody, even 75% of what Anthony Mason was, would really help them. Some guy that could come in off the bench and push people around a little bit and just give Dwight Howard a little bit of help in shot blocking and rebounding. I think that's all they needed. But like you said, the Orlando Magic could not beat the Lakers at their own game because the Lakers are the best finesse team in the NBA, and that's how it sums up for me there. The Orlando Magic just could not beat them at their own game.
I think beyond going to get another tough guy, I think that they need somebody – And I think maybe the rookie Lee might be this guy after he matures a little bit in the league. I think they need a slasher, somebody who could break a defense down and go all the way to the rim. I think you had that with the point guard. I'm trying to draw the blank, but the point guard who got hurt this year.
Nelson.
He was a guy that could do that, but I think you need like a two guard or a three, somebody like that who could actually penetrate, get all the way to the basket and finish on a consistent basis. I believe those are two ingredients that they're missing.
But, Dez, let me ask you this question. What in the world happened to J.J. Redick's jump shot?
Well, hey, pressure bust a pipe.
Scuttle, I mean, ask you the same question. What in the world happened to J.J. Redick's jump shot?
Hey, just like Dez say, you know, about that pressure, man, being on that type of that big of a stage, you know, mentally, it affects those guys' equilibrium or something. You know, it takes away from their shot. I guess being on that big stage,
well,
you know, big time players come through in big time moments, and we all know JJ just ain't nearby ready for nothing like that yet, man.
Well, I think JJ Redick just with the way he was able to shoot in college and to come in the NBA and on this big of a stage, I think it had to attribute to him playing defense. He had to chase guys, and he never had to do that in college, not to this extent. And that took away from him on the offensive end.
Yeah.
The moments he did play, did you see him trying to chase guards and run off screens? You never saw him do that on college, only on one end of the court.
Right, I agree. Right.
Yeah, and just going back, talking about J.J. Redick, I know the Orlando fans have been screaming for a couple of years, play the guy. Starting this year in the playoffs, he was actually starting. And like you say, he just lost his jump shot. And that goes to show, I mean, yeah, he probably could have played a little bit in the regular season, but when it was time for him and the coach called his number, he just didn't produce. So, you know, the Orlando fans can't really be that mad at Stan Van Gundy if next year Stan Van Gundy tells you, look, J.J. Redick is not ready to play. He kind of proved his point this year. And as the playoffs went on, you kind of seen his playing time diminish. And he got a little bit more in the finals, but it still wasn't effective. Moving on in the NBA, Shaquille O'Neal to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Will it go down, Lester? Will it go down?
Hey, Dez, I mean, every day, from my sources are telling me this thing is getting heated, and this might actually be going to be a done deal because Cleveland really feel like they need a true enforcer down, like we've been talking about Orlando, and they really think Shaquille can get them over the top because Big Zagaus is. But Cleveland, he can't get it done, man. We all saw that. He just can't get it done. So I think Cleveland, if they can get this deal done, I think, wow, hey, that'll be very interesting.
Now, it's been reported that Cleveland wanted to do this deal last year, and it didn't happen.
Right.
And I think that, for the most part, Phoenix was looking at Shaq as the missing piece to a championship run, but when Amari Stoudemire went down this year, you know, that was the biggest piece that was missing. And so this year I think actually Phoenix is ready to start dismantling that team. You know, you got players like Steve Nash getting older, Stoudemire still in his prime, but all the pieces that were there when they was making those deep playoff runs, not there no more. So I think they're ready to start rebuilding because if you look at this trade, what's in it for the Phoenix Suns?
Definitely.
Not much. They offering Pavlicek from Cleveland and who else they offering?
And they offering Big Ben Wallace. And the only thing that could come up from for Big Ben Wallace is that he retired. And he's been talking about a retire. Maybe he takes a bye and he retires, save Phoenix a little bit of money. And Phoenix won't have to pay that luxury tax with Shaq not being there this year, next year. So that could be another plus for them to go out and sign somebody else. But beyond that, the Phoenix Suns don't have really anything that they're getting back in return for this. That just leads me to believe that they're ready to move on to the next phase of their team, of their legacy, or whatever you want to call it, to build that team to start winning, trying to chase another championship.
Right. And Shaq is due $20 million this year.
Yes.
Wow. Well, speaking about money, Scudder, I can tell you one player that will see a significant increase in the paycheck in the back pocket, Marcin Gortat, the center for the Orlando Magic. He only made $700,000 this year. Right. Now, next year, I think he'll be rolling to the bank just because he is the only other tough guy that the Magic have.
You know, he made $700,000 this year. You could times 10. He'll be making $7 million next year.
Right.
And tell you the truth, Gortat is a nice player. He's probably more skilled offensively than Dwight Howard. Now, I don't want everybody to think that I'm going there. He's not a better player than Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard has more to offer than Gortat defensively and athletically, and he's going to grow into a better offensive player. But right now, Gortat, I like those two playing together because he can offer something that Dwight Howard can't, and that's a rare move in the low post. So, yeah, I'm with you, Fresh. He's probably going to get paid a lot of money. And another guy who's going to get paid a lot of money is Turkoglu. He opted out of his contract, and I think it was a move just so he could get paid more, not necessarily to leave Orlando, just to go out on the market and increase his pay because he has played better than what he's been paying. So I think it's a good move for Turkoglu.
Well, Dave, the thing about it, can the Magic afford to pay both of them?
I don't see why not. I don't know. The Magic got some things in the works. They got a new facility that they're building. The Amway Center won't be their home. I think next year they move into their new home, or it might be the year after. So they're trying to do some things to get the fan support there and get everybody excited. So when you look at that team, you really don't see a bunch of guys that's making a ton of money. You got Lewis and you got Howard there, but beyond those two, I think everybody else is like mid-level, so they should have some money there in that salary cap structure to pay one or maybe both of those guys. Because a seven million dollar for Gortat, I think that's a pretty decent bargain.
Yeah, I agree, and because Turkoglu is just coming off a 6-year, $36 million contract, so that should be feasible. For Gortat, because you gotta have, you never can have enough good big men on the roster.
You got that right.
Well, coming back, we want to jump into football. Take your calls if you want to call in. Dial 1-888-346-9144. You're listening to Sports and Light Conduct. I'm your host, Dez Clark, with Scudder Davis and Fresh Clark. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
What does it take to have a healthy, happy relationship? A marriage that lasts forever? In today's society, does anyone really have the right answers? Just look at the tabloids and you'll see that the fairy tale relationships are missing the key elements of happily ever after. Dr. Terry Orbuck, also known as the Love Doctor, brings you not only the most current findings, but experts on sex, friendship, parenting, marriage, divorce, love, and work relationships. Dr. Terry gives you realistic tips and advice and the research to back it up. The Love Doctor airs live bright and early Monday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast on the Voice America channel.
Listen up, America.
The doctor is in.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Looking for a good time? We've got a show that will give you a wild ride. This show will make you feel good.
And it's not even bad for you.
You need your time to let loose. It's time for a feel-good party. Pull up to the computer, mix yourself a drink, and turn up the speakers. Happy Hour is here. Every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's called the biggest radio show in the world. Hosted by international personality and pundit Michael DeMarco.
You don't know what's coming next.
The biggest radio show in the world on Voice America.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Sportsmanlike Conduct with Des Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis. If you want in on the action, please call into the show at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to Sportsmanlike Conduct.
All right, gentlemen, we got to take a pause for the calls real quick. I got a public service announcement that I want to make before we get into this NFL. Look, and I'm very serious. If you like 5'3", 5'5", 5'6", and you can sit in the airplane seat and your feet could dangle from the airplane seat, lay your damn chair back on my knees, please. I'm Desmond Clark, and I endorse this message. Okay, now let's on to the NFL. I just had to get that off my chest.
You feel bad?
Man, I get tired of riding on the plane, and these people, little short people, always letting their seat back. And I'm like, come on, come on. I'm going to be like my homeboy John St. Clair. He said one time a little lady let her seat back on his knee, and I think he had a bum knee at the time, and she let his seat back, and before he knew it, he hadn't punched the back of the seat because just the pain went through his knee. That was just his reaction. Somebody, the lady looked back all shocked. I think I'm going to have that reaction one time just so you don't put I ain't going to do that.
Don't do it.
Anyway. Head coaches in the NFL, we always talk about the players and what they mean to the team and the quarterback position and the linebackers and this and that. What do the head coach mean to an NFL team? Fresh, I'd like to hear from you.
Man, a head coach means that he is the guy that delegates authority. He is the MVP of that squad, and he should be, because he's in charge of delegating authority and getting the coaches in the right position to help his team win. And as my opinion to it goes, Dan, is I believe that the staff is more important than the head coach, because the head coach can delegate authority, but it's up to the assistant coaches to facilitate everything and make sure the plan goes accordingly. Because if the head coach gives a wide receiver coach a certain script to run that week and the wide receiver coach is kind of lackadaisical about it, those guys are not going to be prepared, and ultimately the head coach is the guy to blame. So I'm going with the staff on this one, Dave. The staff is a lot more important than the head coach, but if you got a head coach that's stern and gives those strict instructions, it means a lot more. But once again, the staff is more important, because if you don't have guys that can go through and get that message and that point across, and respect their head coach, you don't have a good team.
That's how you said.
Yes,
man, I'm almost on the same page with you, Fresh, but I'm going to just tarry a little bit. I'm going to ease right back to the head coach a little bit because, you know, he's just like the king. You know, and you're right, he delegate the authority and pass it around and whatnot, but he's still the king and he still sits on the throne. And when he makes a bad move here or there with an assistant coach or a player or whatever, he the one got to bite the bullet. So if you got a good head coach in your system and in your program, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a winner. So I'm going to go with the head coach as the most popular guy between them two.
Well, if you say that, you got a coach like Levin Smith, he's going back and going to call the defense now.
Right, same with Wade Phillips. He's doing that at Dallas. He's going there because they're taking, you know, they see their kingdom crumbling, so they got to do something.
Exactly. So that's my point, that somebody on that staff is probably not getting it done. If a head coach has to come and take over that deep, put his hands that deep into the cookie jar, if I'm a head coach, if I'm going that deep into the cookie jar, I'm doing that because, hey, this is my job at stake, and I have to do what's best for my team. So if I'm an offensive head coach, if I have to go call plays for my team to be successful, that's what I'm going to do.
And that being said, Fresh, when a coach has to do that, 9 times out of 10, you're right, his job is at stake. When he got to go, you know, take over a coordinator's job or do his job, wow, that ain't good.
I see the head coach like this, more of a CEO. And what a CEO has to do is set the structure for that business, because this is a business. It's just the business of football. And what that CEO has to do is have a certain vision that he has to give to his employees or his supervisors as the coaches to actually go out and teach the employees. These supervisors or coaches are actually the teachers. You can look at the head coach as the principal of a high school also, and he has a philosophy that he wants to get implemented, and these teachers have to go out and teach the employees how they want it done. The assistant coaches, I think, are just as important or more important. I don't want to say more important. They're just as important as the head coach, because if the head coach has a vision, but that vision is not being carried out by that assistant coach, it's going to be a chink somewhere in the armor. And you see that with a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you go out to what happened last year out with the Raiders, everybody know who's the CEO out there, Mr. Al Davis. And everybody else are just the coaches. I don't care if you're the head coach or not. You're assistant coach, and Al Davis run that team. And I think the personal philosophy of Al Davis wasn't being carried out. So you've seen a chink in the armor and what ultimately happened. And you see that with other teams, too. You actually see it in college. Look at Randy Shannon and what happened with him. And
wow, you took the words out of my mouth, Diz.
With Mr. Nix down there. The personal philosophy of that head coach wasn't being carried out. So, therefore, somebody had to take the fall. And you also see that in NFL on occasion also. So.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when they had Tony Dungy there. We all know he was a great head coach, but he could never find the right offensive coordinator to run that offense. He went through Mike Shula. He went through several guys. And then you go back to the college ranks, Dez. You can go as far as right there at the College Station with Penn State. Look at Joe Paterno. He's a great guy, a great coach, but you can't tell me that he does not have a superior staff to facilitate what his message. And also Bobby Bowden. With those guys and their age, I mean, they can give the pregame speeches and rah-rah and get their team up ready to play each and every Saturday and sometimes Thursday nights. But you got to have a great staff if you're Joe Paterno or Bobby Bowden.
Yes, you do. And just talking about coaches and having great coaching staff, you got a few coaches this year in the NFL that's on the hot seat. Now, whether it's them or the coaching staff, whatever you want to call it, it's a couple coaches on the hot seat. And I want to start with three, Mr. Marvin Lewis, Del Rio down in Jacksonville, and also Wade Phillips out in Dallas. Now, those are three coaches that you would think if they don't get it done this year, their job is in serious jeopardy. Lester, how you see it?
I agree with you, Dez. And, you know, I'm a Cowboy man, and so I'm a kind of an authority on Wade Phillips. And this is his final year of his contract. So if he want to continue to eat good, he might need to start coaching better. You know what I mean? because Jerry just ain't gonna keep pumping out money without no results. Jerry want to get to the Super Bowl, and if this guy is not gonna be the guy to get him there with his philosophy of coaching, it's gonna be a change in Big D this year.
Well,
take that to the bank.
And Scudder, we all know anybody coaching for the Cowboys is on the hot seat.
Anybody. I think I'm about the only one that can go and get along with Jerry and get them guys so well.
There you go, Dez. Everybody's on the hot seat with the Cowboys. But there's one coach that I like to talk about that's on the hot seat is what you mentioned earlier, my man Del Rio down in Jacksonville. I mean, it was sixth season. He's 50-46. And I just believe if Rio don't get it done, he's not going to even make it out the entire year. If he starts out below 500 in the first five games, I think you'll see an early move or early exit in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and I'm going to touch on Marvin Lewis a little bit. Everybody knows the ups and downs that the Cincinnati Bengals have had in the last couple of years, all the stuff with Ocho Cinco and the guys going to jail and the DUIs and Chris Henry and all that kind of stuff. At that time, they was wondering, could he control his team? And it seemed like he got a reprieve, but now the team started out 0-8 last year, only won a couple of games. If the team is starting out like that this year and finish up like that this year, I think Mr. Marvin Lewis will be looking for another job somewhere. Of course, he probably go out and find one because he is a good coach, but I don't know if he has that team's attention. And the team is actually carrying out his plans as he's putting them out there.
Right. And I agree with you on Marvin Lewis, Dez. But another coach that's on the hot seat will be your present head coach, Levin Smith. Just my opinion, I believe that he's probably on the hot seat just because of all the off-season acquisitions that the Bears have made and with you guys going to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And now the Super Bowl is back in Miami. If not now, when? You know, I think that you guys can make that Super Bowl run, and since you were the last participant to be in Miami, why not? And if he doesn't get it done, I don't know how long that the Bears staff front office will let him stick around.
Well, I really believe that he has this year. I fully expect us to get it done, just let me say that. But if we don't get it done, I believe that he's done enough, shown enough where the seat may warm up. I don't think it'll get hot until after the season if we don't perform like we should, because it's a lot of excitement around here right now. We got Jay Cutler in, of course. We revamped the offensive line, got some depth there, brought in Orlando Pace. So we're looking to make that run. Everybody around here is looking for us to make that run. And it'll be a disappointment if we don't make a deep run into the playoffs. And like I say, if that don't happen, yeah, I think the seat really starts warming up on Levy. But right now, I don't think he's on a hot seat. I think he's on one of those seats where everybody looking at him like, yeah, let's get it done. And I believe everybody around here feels that way about this year. And, you know, Levy is going to be Levy regardless. So.
Right, and I see that. He's going to be Levy. Dungy's going to be Dungy. And Jim Caldwell is going to be Jim Caldwell. Lester, that's one coach. Matter of fact, two coaches with Jim Caldwell and Raheem Morris, both of those first-year head coaches, I think they're already on the hot seat in their first year. One, because Jim Caldwell, he's coming to a position where you got the number one quarterback in the NFL, depending on who's speaking, with Peyton Manning. And Raheem Morris, he's just coming into an impossible situation with all the veterans they got rid of and with such a young team coming in. I don't know how well he'll do. I think if he can go 500, he should be safe, which, you know, the NFL is standing out for long.
First, we got 10 NFL coaches, 10 new NFL coaches, and we're going to talk about all 10 of them when we come back. The Sportsmanlike Conduct. We'd like to take your calls, 1-888-346-9144. Be back with you in a minute.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Self-leadership is more important than corporate leadership.
In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in self-success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Radio by George is a lifestyle program dedicated to improving the lives of listeners by focusing on the holistic growth of their mind, body, and spirit. Host Eddie George shares his life experiences as well as the experiences of his guest commentators and experts with the listening audience to focus them toward reaching their personal and professional goals. Tune in every Monday afternoon at 1 p.m. PST, 4 p.m. EST to Radio by George on the Voice America channel and learn more from the life experiences of a man who went from being a somewhat unruly kid in the streets of Philadelphia to a retired professional athlete who has become a role model for not only young people, but for businessmen and women globally. Plan to spend your Monday afternoons with Eddie George and his empowering talk radio show, Radio by George. That's every Monday at 1 p.m. PST, right here on the Voice America channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Sportsmanlike Conduct with Des Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis. If you want in on the action, please call into the show at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to Sportsmanlike Conduct.
So we're talking about the head coaches around the NFL, and I made a mistake. It's 11 new head coaches in the NFL. Let me just run down the list. You have Mr. Todd Haley with Kansas City Chiefs, Jim Caldwell with Indianapolis, Rex Ryan with the New York Jets, Mangini with Cleveland, Mr. Morris with Tampa Bay, Spagnuolo with the St. Louis Rams, McDaniel out in Denver, Schwartz with Detroit, Singletary with the 49ers, Mr. Cable with Oakland, and Jim Moore Jr. with Seattle. Fresh, let me go back to you since you brought it up. Which one of these coaches are on the hot seat right now? And then let me add to that, which one of these coaches have the best chance to win right now?
I have two of them that's on the hot seat, Raheem Morris and Jim Caldwell. Like I stated before the break, Caldwell, just simply because you have Peyton Manning and you just have the great history behind that organization the last few years with winning the Super Bowl and playing in the playoffs in about 6 or 7 straight years, Caldwell is already on the hot seat because if he doesn't get it done, you best believe Peyton will turn into the number one crybaby, and you'll start to see what a lot of teams are made of once they start losing. The second coach will be Raheem Morris. I think, personally, it's a transition move for the Bucs, and he's not expected to get much done, but as we all know, if you don't get it done, you got to get missing. And he's coming to an impossible situation. So unless those rookies and second and third-year players can get it done for Raheem Morris, and he could be a master motivator, he won't be around for long, Dez.
That's a Scudder Davis. How you see it?
Well, I see I like this kid out in well, now he ain't no kid, but the head coach out there in Seattle, Jim Morrow Jr., when we spoke on him, I think I ain't gonna say he's on the hot seat. I agree with Fresh about Caldwell and Morris down here in Tampa being, you know, gonna be scrutinized pretty closely. But just as a coach that's gonna have the most time, I'm gonna go with Morris because at Seattle, I think he's got a team that he can go somewhere with, and he's gonna be given an ample amount of time to get it turned around there in Seattle.
Well, I think just the opposite of you. I think that Seattle last year they didn't play well. I think they knew that they had a lame duck coach that was ultimately about to go out the door. I think with the team that they have out there right now, they're more ready to win than any other of these new coaches are, as far as the team goes, besides Indianapolis. So I think if he don't go out there and get it done in 2 to 3 years, you're going to see a short hook on him. The manager come out of the dugout, tap his arm,
yeah,
for a relief pitcher.
Send me in the left.
He's the first
yeah.
one to get it if he don't win in the next 2 to 3 years. Because
right.
his team is most ready to win. I believe out of all of these coaches, I believe Schwartz will have the longest leash because of the futility of the Detroit Lions. I think, they're going to want to see a turnaround, but I think if he can continuously make a couple improvements over the next couple years, I think you will see him get a contract extension. I don't think you will have to see him get into the playoffs to get a contract extension. Much like Dick Geron up in Buffalo, hadn't made it to the playoffs last 3 years, 7-9 record. I believe they might have went 8-8 last year. Contract extension. And I think the same thing will happen with Schwartz as long as the ownership and the management deem that they are making progress, like I said, much like the Buffalo Bills. Fresh, I know you said these Morris and Jim Caldwell's on the hot seat. Which one of these coaches with these new teams do you see having the best chance to win right away?
Well, Dez, I think that Josh McDaniel in Denver has the best chance to win right away just because the history of that franchise and with him being the offensive mind he is, I actually think that your former quarterback is going to go out there and do pretty decent. But I was leaning on the fence to stick with that until I pick up the paper this morning and see that Marshall wants a trade. What are we going to do about offense now if he wants a trade?
You know what? That's funny because you go from the Jay Cutler situation. First, let's just go all the way back. You go with Mike Shanahan getting fired, which nobody thought was going to happen. Then you bring in the new young head coach. He's coming in, and he wants to crack his whip a little bit. And, he takes a tough stance with Jay, and Jay is out of there. And then you bring in Kyle, who I agree with you. I think Kyle is going to go out there and launch his career even more than what he did here in Chicago. But now you got a guy that has been one of the better receivers over the last 2 or 3 years wanting to trade. Why he want to trade? I don't know. Everybody wants to get paid, but why not stay there and get paid in Denver instead of demanding a trade and want to go somewhere else? Where there's smoke, there is fire. Now, when you got your two best players on the team trying to get out of there, it might say something about the head coach.
Wow. Wow.
It might just.
Well,
wow.
We know the Denver Broncos organization speaks for itself, so I just hope that that Orton has somebody to throw to, and that I just wish him the best because he was a good quarterback in Chicago. I just hate to see someone, even the reasons for getting traded or going to another team. I want to see him succeed.
Well, a coach that we hadn't talked about yet, Rex Ryan up in New York. I'm quite sure you guys have been hearing all the banter going back between all these teams in the AFC East, between the coaches, players, and everybody else. Their mamas and uncles, seemed like everybody that got into the fray. My daddy could beat your daddy and everything. But Rex Ryan is in an intriguing position. He inherits a team that wasn't bad. I mean, no longer have Brett Favre there, and that's a whole other issue of his own, but he doesn't have that circus there. But he's coming to a team that's well-rounded, and he was able to bring in some pieces on that defense to help cultivate that defense into what he wants it to be. I look for Rex Ryan to be another one of the coaches that's going to win right away, along with Jim Caldwell and Jim Moore. How do y'all feel about Rex Ryan being up in New York, Scudder?
I like Rex, man, because I love offense, but I also love defense. And Rex, all the way back to his daddy, for you young kids, his daddy is Buddy Ryan, and I think he's gonna bring a toughness to the Jets that probably they needed. And Jets gonna be a team to have to be reckoned with up in that AFC East, man. And I really like the Jets, and I like Ryan.
I think the AFC East conference is gonna be one of the more closely contested conferences in the National Football League. Not necessarily the best, but I believe it's going to be a lot of good games come out of there. Because, I mean, look at it. You got Buffalo. You got New York Jets. You got Miami Dolphins. And who am I missing out of?
New England.
You got New England.
Yeah.
Now, all of those teams got better in the offseason.
Yeah, sure did.
and all of those teams are actually looking to get into the playoffs. There's no reason why any of those teams say, okay, well, we're probably not going to make it to the playoffs. It's not like in the NFC North when you got a team like Detroit, which they're not going to say we're not going to get into the playoffs, but they're just looking to make improvements first and then think about that later.
Right.
So that AFC East conference is going to be one of the more tightly contested conferences along with the AFC North because, well, on the top end of the AFC North, I'm sorry, Cleveland and Cincinnati. But, okay. So,
no say.
Yeah. I look for that AFC East to be real, real tightly contested.
And hey, just Dan. Point,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, before we get too far, I just want to send a quick shout-out to my boy and your other former quarterback, Rex Grossman. Congratulations on getting picked up by the Texans, Rex. Wish you the best, man.
Yeah, I'm certainly happy to see Rex out there with the Texans and battling for that number two position. And that's intriguing, too, for them to go out and sign a Rex Grossman when they signed what's the guy from Detroit? I'm drawing a blank. But he was Orlinski.
Yeah.
Orlinski from University of Connecticut.
The what now?
From the University of Connecticut. That's the guy from Detroit.
Yes. They signed him to be the number two. I believe they signed Rex because maybe they didn't like something that they seen with Orlinski out there. Orlinski being a starter for a part of the season with Detroit. I just didn't understand why they would go out and sign Rex. Everybody is trying to get the best players available, but for me, if you're going to sign Rex, why didn't they do it early? I believe that they seen something in Orlinski that they didn't like, and judging by some of the comments that I heard Orlinski make, well, I really don't think that they did this in lieu of me or that's the way I'm going to take it. When you say things like that, it probably means that, okay, really thinking that they signed this guy in lieu of you for something that you did. So that's an intriguing signing by the Houston Texans. Going back to the receivers, Brandon Marshall, we talked about him a little bit. Stallworth, he pleaded guilty down there, got to serve a 30-day sentence and some financial considerations to the family, a tragic situation. But one thing that I want to say about Stallworth, he manned up about it. He fully cooperated. He knew he was in the wrong, and you see the remorse in his statements and everything that he's doing to try to rectify the situation. You know, got a guy that's dead. He's never going to come back. Anything that Stallworth do, I just appreciate Stallworth just manning up to it. You know, he made a mistake and just trying to rectify the situation. How you guys feel about that?
Well, hey. Yeah, there's first of all, I give my condolences to the family that all. That got lost in that Stallworth incident, and I agree with you, and I admire Stallworth for standing up like a man, you know, and you know, taking full responsibility, which any man should do, and I wish him the best too, man. I hope we can all get past this and continue to move on.
You know, he stayed there after he hit the guy. He was the one to call 911.
Yeah. Yeah, he did everything he could, you know.
He fully cooperated with the investigation. You know, anybody could have took the easy way out and tried to run off because he knew he was out drinking. But he didn't do that. So, you know, I hope he's able to get past this sort of. I mean, like I say, it's nothing that's going to bring the guy back and make his family feel better about that. But Stallworth, if you're out there listening, I appreciate what you did after the tragic incident. We all know you made a mistake, and we all praying for you and the family that lost the gentleman to your accident. But listening to Sportsmanlike Conduct with Lester Scudder Davis, Paul Fresh Clark. I'm your host, Des Clark. Mike, take us out. We'll be back for the fourth quarter.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
Shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
We live in a time of economic uncertainty.
Gas prices are up. Healthcare costs are up. And sometimes the market is down. But studies have shown that by mastering your own energy, you can still live a life of prosperity. Listen to Master Your Energy, Master Your Life with your host, Siobhan Moran. Siobhan will show you how to overcome the negative energy of recessionary headlines and give you tools to deflect the harmful effects of subtle negative energy. Master Your Energy, Master Your Life. Friday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network.
Interstate Sportsman Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Friday mornings at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 Eastern, for the Interstate Sportsman on the Voice America channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
You're listening to Sportsmanlike Conduct with Des Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis. If you want in on the action, please call into the show at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to Sportsmanlike Conduct.
Man, we're going home for the stretch run. It's the fourth quarter, guys. Hey, I hope you're not tired. I hope we got our energy up. I hope we've been doing our conditioning because we got to take this one home. And I hope y'all ready to go with me. Let's talk about these quarterbacks from the first round this year. You have Stafford, Sanchez, and Freeman. Mr. Fresh, tell me, out of these three guys, who have the best chance to duplicate the success of the first-round quarterbacks from last year? And just that, who has the best chance to duplicate it?
I think Sanchez does, only because he's coming into a possible situation with Brett Favre leaving. And Stafford, I believe the Detroit Lions have been in such turmoil for so long, they're going to let Dante Culpepper stick it out and let Stafford just sit back and learn. And down in Tampa with the Bucs, Freeman, he's just going to sit back behind Leftwich and McNown and learn also hold a clipboard. So I believe I'm giving that nod to Sanchez, Diz.
Yeah, I can see that. Scudder, tell me how you see it.
The way I see it, man, I really think in Detroit, Matthew Stafford's going to – if Detroit starts out the season 0-3, 0-4, 1-5, they're going to go ahead and say, you know, hey, let's put him in. They're going to put him in the fire. I'm looking for Stafford to have the probably most productive season this season.
I think Culpepper, he came into OTAs 30 pounds lighter than he did last year. I think I see him looking at this as his last chance for redemption. So I think he's going to go out and put his best foot forward. And with what Detroit is saying, that they're going to be patient with Stafford, mm-hmm. I don't really see him playing much this year, even if they start out 2-4, 3-6. I really can't see them playing him until either Culpepper get hurt or at the end of the season, because I really think Culpepper is going to play this season pretty good. Got one of the best receivers in the game to throw the ball to, so I really look for Culpepper to have a good year. Sanchez, on the other hand, I think he's going to be the starter from day one. And I think he has some weapons that he could throw to and a team that's going to play good defense and allow him not to have to go out and win games, but kind of manage the games, as you hear a lot around the NFL, be a managing quarterback and win games with the defense and special teams. And he's just got to make timely plays at the right time.
And he also has a good running back behind him in Thomas Jones.
And they drafted another good running back, Sean Green, just in case Thomas Jones is not there at the beginning of the season, because, of course, he's holding out for a bigger contract. They had the AFC in touchdowns and rushing yards. Get a man his money. That's where I see that. But Don Freeman, on the other hand, he's down there in a three-way quarterback battle with McCown and Leftwich. I really see Leftwich coming out of this thing being the starter. And I think with Josh, he out of the three was the least NFL ready, if you ask me. That's just how I see it. But as it go along, I can see Josh being just as good as those first two, as you see Jay Cutler is the best quarterback out of the three that was drafted. When was that? In 04 the guy down in Tennessee, and then Atlanta over in Arizona. Jay Cutler is the best out of all three of those right now. So Josh Freeman could possibly do that also.
I agree
with that, Dez. Josh Freeman, I think he's going to have to sit back and hold that clipboard a little bit. But once he gets a season or half a season under his belt, that guy, he can sling it. Now, being 6'6", he's almost like another Brian Leftwich on the field, Dez.
Yeah, and he probably could throw the ball like Brian Leftwich and be a little bit more mobile than Brian Leftwich.
Right. All he got to do is be able to run. He'd be more mobile than Leftwich.
There you go.
The time we all been waiting for. How do you see it, Mr. Fresh Clark?
Well, guys, let's start it off like this. The way I see it, if the Minnesota Vikings don't have any interest in Brett Favre, just say so. Man, just make a public announcement and end this roller coaster ride that he got the fans on every summer. All of us as fans, you know, we get tired of this. And the back and forth leads me to believe that they are interested in Favre and just wanted him to confirm all the rumors. I would just like to be the quarterback on that roster, knowing that the organization, you know, hadn't took a stand against all the rumors. If the Vikings don't want him, then just say so. You know, the quarterbacks on that roster just have to man up and accept it. But downplaying it each week, it just make the possibility of signing him, and it just continue to play with the quarterback psyche. You know, what's hard about speaking out publicly saying you're not interested in Favre? Favre has all the leverage, and clearly he using the leverage to make the Vikings look desperate, which they are. The way I see it, if I'm a quarterback on that roster, I'm not on the long-term plan with the Vikings. So, hey, I'm looking for the next best thing. That's the way I see it.
Hey, I agree with you. But one thing that the Vikings don't have that Brett have, he could determine on his own terms when he's going to play. Lester, Scudder, Davis, how do you see it?
Well, sports fan, this your boy Scudder. And this is the way I see it. Lens Crafters, Bosch and Long, here it is. The Los Angeles Lakers have set themselves up for another mini dynasty. Did you see the NBA Finals this past week, sports fan? If you did, you saw them Lakers. Yeah, they're young. Kobe was one of the older players, but he's just hitting his prime. He's on the good side of 31. So Kobe has 3 to 4 more good years. Paul Gasol, 28. Lamar Odom, on the good side of 30. Fisher, well, we might have to get some help there. But Ariza, Andrew Bynum, he's just a baby. And if he stays healthy, the Lakers you can look for the Lakers for a 3, maybe 4-year run here at that title. And the way I see it, out in the West, nobody can challenge them. The only challenge they'll get is when they hit the final. So if you love the Lakers, you really like what I'm talking about. If you hate the Lakers, you really hate what I'm talking about, but that's the way I see it.
Hey, and you don't think anybody else out there could challenge them?
Not in the West.
Yeah.
They'll get their only challenge when they get to the finals from whoever in the East.
Well, let's look at the landscape. I think Portland is an up and coming team that will be ready to challenge them in the next year or two.
I can see that.
You look at a Houston team with a healthy Yao Ming ready to challenge them like they did this year. With a Tracy McGrady healthy, that's saying a lot, but a healthy Tracy McGrady on that team, they ready to challenge them. Denver, with another year with having Mr. Big Shot out there, I think they'll be ready to challenge them. Whether they are ready to beat them, That's yet to be seen, but I do think they do have some challenges out there in the West, and none of those teams are going to stay pat either. They're going to go out and try to get better, sign some other people. I think Portland is the most up and coming team in the NBA right now. If Big Old School gets on the
Big Old School,
yeah, if he gets better on the offensive end, I think you can look for that team to challenge the Lakers and anybody else in the NBA in the next 1 to 2 years. So you're right. The Lakers are like the cream of the crop right now, but, you know, there's some teams coming up. And this is the way I see it. So basketball season is over. Done with. Lakers won it all. Congratulations. Wasn't it a great playoff season except for the finals. 4-1. We won a little bit better than that, but we didn't get it. So that's the way it is. Now, how about the down-and-out Pittsburgh Penguins reemerging from a 2-0 deficit to win Game 7 on the road? Who could have written a better script than that? Everybody thought they was down, came back, and won it. Congratulations, Pittsburgh Penguins. Football season, now it's still a couple months away, but if we're warming it up, always on Sportsmanlike Conduct, you're going to hear a little bit about the football season. So now we got to turn to America's pastime. Watching baseball is like dating your old high school sweetheart. Love her 1 minute, can't stand her the next. You break up, just to make up. Manny Ramirez get caught cheating. A-Rod get caught cheating. Everything get dragged in the mud. Baseball, I can't stand you, but you look so good. Drinking with his outstanding start. And, oh, yeah, the Dodgers just keep on keeping on. And, by the way, how many home runs they going to hit out of New York Stadium? Baseball, although you do me wrong, I think I'm going to give our relationship one more shot. Now, can we vow to make it work this time? Okay. And, by the way, Manny was only telling the truth. He didn't kill or rape nobody. Y'all saying he been insensitive. Insensitive to who? The killers and the rapists? I don't know how you see it, but this is the way I see it. And you just listen to Sportsmanlike Conduct. I'm your host, Dez Clark, Lester Scudder Davis. Fresh Clark will be right back with you next week, next Tuesday. Tune in.
Good night, sports fans.
Thanks again for joining us on this week's edition of Sportsmanlike Conduct. Be sure to come back next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.